Today she is Masechet Chulin Daf Mem Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Mem Aleph on the Aleph, four lines from the top, Toshma. We had learned in our previous shiur a machloikis, the opinion of Rav Huna and Ula was Adam Oisa Dovah Shein Shaloi, that a person has the ability to cause something, even though he doesn't own it, to become prohibited. Whereas it was the opinion of Rav Tzuri Amaroyim that we learned at the end of the previous year, of Nachman, of Amram, and of Yitzchak, who are all of the opinion that Ein Adam Ois Davish and Shloi. A person doesn't have that ability. Ask the Gemara on this opinion that Ein Adam Ois Davish and Shloi from our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah, Toshma, Shnaim Oichsim Besachim Shechtim, if two people are holding a knife on a Shechting, if one had an improper intention, and one had the proper intention, the halacha is shchitas epsula. Now the Gemara is assuming that Amish is referring to a situation where the person who had the improper machshava is not an owner of this animal. And yet our Mishnah teaches us that he has the ability to cause that the animal should be aser. Don't we see that Adam Oisa Dovah She'ena Shaloi? Answers the Gemara, Hachav Ma'iskina, this L'Shatras Begabah. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the person has a Shutfis in it. He's a partner. And therefore, it's not a situation of Dovah She'ena Shaloi. Ask the Taz that we discussed at the end of our previous year, Machlokes Rishonim, that according to the Shitas that we're now discussing, that Ein Adam Oisa Dovah She'ena Shaloi, that somebody doesn't have the ability to prohibit something that he doesn't actually own. So we asked in the previous year, what will be the halakha? How far do they take it? And we quoted that some Rishonim say that his act is totally meaningless. But we quoted other Rishonim, amongst them Duran, who says that even if we'll hold Ein Adam Oyster Dovah She'ena Shaloi, it will still be Oser Bachila. You won't be allowed to eat an animal that was slaughtered with a Machsheves Avodah Zarah, even if you're not the owner. So ask the Taz, if so, according to the Ran, what's the Gemara's question? Yes, our Mishnah says that even though you're not an owner of this animal, you make the animal by having the raw machshava also to be eaten, because everybody agrees that much a person has the ability to do, even if he isn't the owner of the animal. Answers the Taz, that although the Ran, in explaining the opinion of Ein Adam Oisa Dovah She'ena Shaloi, is of the opinion that he does make it Oser Ba'achila, that's only in a case where he's doing it by himself. For example, the case that we've been discussing, where somebody takes someone else's animal, although he's not the owner of that animal anyway, and he shechts it by himself, the Shem Avodah Zarah. So that's where the Ran says that everybody will agree that that animal may not be eaten. But as we're learning, our Mishnah is referring to a situation where he doesn't shecht it by himself. So if it's a case where the true owner of the animal is participating in the Shechita, and it's another individual who's just part of that shechita, and he's not the owner of the animal, in that situation, the Ran would agree that according to these opinions, the meat may be eaten. So now the Gemara asks another question. Toshma, it says in a braisa, Hamatamid, if somebody makes somebody else's produce, his truma, tamid, and we know the halacha is that tamid produce may not be eaten. Hamadama, or he mixes truma with chulin, which causes the value of that produce obviously to go down considerably. Because as we know, truma may only be eaten by kahanim, chulin could be eaten by everyone, so there's a much smaller market for truma. So even if the truma is not tameh, still it has limited usage. It can only be used by kahanim. So somebody mixes truma together with chulin, v'amenasach, or somebody makes the wine yayin nesach, In all these cases, b'shoyi potter b'mezet chayv. The reason b'shoyi potter is because we have a rule that hezek she'en a nigger, a non-noticeable hezek, lo yishmei hezek, is not considered hezek. And here, it's not the actual produce or the wine doesn't look any different after than before. So it's a hezek she'en a nigger. And that's why, even though apidin hezek she'en a nigger lo yishmei hezek, here, b'mezid, Chazal said that we should be, that the person who did cause such a damage should be held responsible. And the Gemara's question is, if the halacha is ein adam oiser davar she'en shloi, that a person doesn't have the ability to cause somebody else's item to become usur, so now we have a question here: if somebody was menasich someone else's wine, so then he shouldn't have that ability to make that wine usur. Why is our Mishnah saying that why is the Braisa saying that it becomes usur? And now we have a question: will he be held liable for the damages? It's interesting to point out that when Rashi speaks about Hamanasich, you notice that Rashi and Rishonim speak about a case not where the wine was actually poured in front of the Avodah Zarah, because very much in line what we discussed in our previous shiur, if wine were actually poured in front of Avodah Zarah, it wouldn't make a difference what was the intention of the person. The halacha is that wine would be usur, because the wine would be usur because the wine is yayin nesach, just like we discussed in the previous year, where somebody mixes meat and milk, it makes no difference who did it. Here we're referring to a situation that it was meshachshech. He only stuck his hand into the wine. Since he only stuck his hand into the wine, so that isn't an obvious situation of Avodah Zarah. And since it isn't an obvious situation of Yai Nesach, therefore the Gemara asks, according to the opinion, that Ein Adam Oysa Davish Ein Shaloi, why would this wine be prohibited? Why would this wine be prohibited for drinking? Furthermore, the Stipler discusses that in the case of Hamadami, where you mix the truma and the chulin, it's very different than, he asks, than medama and the metame and menasech. Because we are asked by metame and menasech, something inherently happened to the wine or to the produce. In the case, he asks, of hamedame, as we described it a few moments ago, nothing happened to the truma. The entire concern here is that the truma is mixed together with the chulin, and we're unable to identify which is the truma and which is the chulin, and that's why the chulin becomes prohibited. But that isn't an inherent hezek, and therefore, why should you be held responsible? So the Stipler explains, and it's not really the subject of our shiur today, that the issue here is an issue of garmi, which is a type of a causative damage that one is responsible for as well. That's the Stipler's approach. Dor Sameach has a very interesting approach. Dor Sameach's approach is that our Gemara is teaching us, as we explained, that really this is a Hezek Shein and Nikr. And since it's a Hezek Shein and Nikr, one ought not to be responsible. Just if he did it b'mezid, Chazal said a knas that he will be responsible. Explains Dor Sameach that included in the knas that Chazal said is not only that even though it's a hezek she'en a nigger, you will be held responsible, but even if you could perhaps argue that it should not be considered a hezek at all, because the truma is still truma, nothing inherently wrong happened to the truma, included in the gezeirah's chazal that one should be held responsible is the gezeirah as well, that he should be held, that he should be chayiv in this case. So again, the question is, if one doesn't have the ability to prohibit something that he doesn't own, why in the case of a menasech is he chayif? Answers the Gemara, Hachinami, this price is referring to a situation, this l'shutzus bekavoh, that he's a partner in it, and since he's a partner, that's why he's more responsible. So says the Gemara, this issue that we're discussing, this machloikis amroam, if Adam Oysadav Hashem Shaloi, or Ein Adam Oysadav Hashem Shaloi, if a person has the ability to cause something he doesn't own to become Usur, the Gemara wants to suggest is actually perhaps a machlokes tanur. Because the Braisa says, Oivet kachovim shenisach yenoi shel Yisrael, shloivet nei avodes kachovim, if he poured somebody else's wine not in front of the avodah zara, osrin. It's osrin. Why? Because hezek shenin, because adam oisa dovish shenin shaloi. And here too, many Rishonim say, with the Braisa is being very specific in speaking about a case where it didn't happen in front of the avodah zara. For were it to happen in front of the avodah zara, as we're discussing, everybody would agree that that wine is inherently usher, and since that wine is inherently usher, nothing can be done anymore regarding the situation. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Matir Noisoi, they say it's mutter. Nesh Dvarim, Echod, Shem Naskin Yain Aluf Nevar Tzkachavim. It only is an issue if it happened right in front of the avodah zara, and here it didn't happen right in front of the avodah zara. And furthermore, what's relevant to our shir, Vechet Shachar Laimaloi, Guloi Kolin Menach, Shetes Yain Lansi, you don't have the ability to make my wine usser. Why don't you have the ability to make my wine usser? Because Ein Adam Oyser Dova She'enoi Shaloi. So the Gemara is assuming that the Tana Kama is the opinion of Rav Huna and Ula, and Rav Yehuda ben Beseira is the opinion of the three Amoraim. Says the Gemara, that Rav Huna, certainly, Rav Huna and Ula's opinion certainly cannot be consistent with the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Beseira and Rav Yehuda ben Bava. However, says the Gemara, Rav Nachman, Rav Amra, Rav Yitzchak Amri, they're going to say, even the Tanakama of this Braisa, who seems to be holding that Adam Oysadova Shena Shaloi, when will he hold that? Strictly Hani Milikuti. Strictly by a goy will he say that. Ava Yisrael. But when one Jew makes another Jew's property usur, says that he's making that property into Avodah Zara, we will say Litzurika Mechavin. Not that he's looking or able to make it usur. All he wanted to do was cause pain to the other Jew, and by saying that he meant that it should be for Avodah Zara, that's how he's causing him aggravation, but not that he makes it into an Avodah Zara. And as the Crazy Uplacy explains this opinion, explains this Gemara, he says, Rav Huna and Ula are of the opinion that Adam Oysa Dovish Enishloi, a person has the ability to make somebody else's item Osir, and that's Midoraisa. And since it's Midoraisa, so certainly when a goy does it, we are concerned. But even when a Jew does it, and there's the possibility that we should say that Litzuri Kamechavin, that all he meant was just to make him feel bad. But on the other hand, there's a real issue. There's a real concern that he meant to make his wine usher. And therefore, since we have such a concern, and Adam Oysa Davish and Shaloi, we have to go L'chumra. Whereas the other opinions will hold that the entire concept of Adam Oysa Davish and Shaloi is only Midrabanan, and therefore in a case like we were discussing, where there's a question, we could be more lenient. And therefore, says Rabbi Chaim Oizer, along the same line in the Shalat Chuvas Achiezer, that even if the Jew, that these Amoraim and Tanoim are saying was Litzuri Kamechavin, that all he really meant was to hurt, it was to cause him anguish, but not to make the wine Avodah Zara, will say, no, it was my full-fledged intention to make the wine Avodah Zara, it wouldn't make a difference. He wouldn't have Namanis to say that. Why wouldn't he have Namanis to say it? Because it's only a Derabanan, and that's why we could be more lenient. And Rav Shimon Shkop, in fact, takes it a step further. He says, because in our Gemara, as we've been explaining, there isn't really a full-fledged act of Avodah Zara occurring here, because he just was Meshachshech. He only put his hand into the wine. He didn't actually pour the wine in front of Avodah Zara, and that's why they could take this more lenient approach. But then I saw that the Chelkas Shoyev, in his Sefer, Kavad Kishaisa, asks a Gevaldige question. The Gemara, these are Meroim, Tanoim, are being Mechadish, that the Jew's intention is not to make the wine into Avodah Zarah. His intention is only the Tzu'urika Mechavin, to cause the other Jew anguish. But if he's not accomplishing anything, and the wine doesn't become Asr, so he hasn't achieved his goal of Litzaure. So he wants to say a number of Terutzim. He says, one Terutz is, that indeed, our Gemara is only referring to the person who's doing this, if the Jew is doing this, to a situation is where he's Amoritz. And he doesn't know that what he's doing won't have any real effect. But were he indeed to be a Talmud Chacham, and he would know that unless he has in mind that it should be coming about the Zorah, what he's doing is meaningless, it could well be that the Halacha would distinguish between a person who doesn't know the Halacha versus the person that does know the Halacha. Another Teretz that he wants to suggest, it's in line with the Rishonim that we quoted earlier in the Shir, that everybody will agree that the wine may not be drunk in this situation. The only question that's on the table is it mutter b'hal no. And therefore, even if the tzurei b'chamechavin doesn't make a difference, he's accomplishing something. He's accomplishing that the wine may not be drunk. So ask the Gemara, if we're saying now, there's a difference between when a Jew does it versus when an Akim does it, we go back to the Mishnah. Toshma, we learned in our Mishnah, the case that we began today's shiur with, Shnai Moitzim B'Tzak and V'Shoiftim, if two people are holding the knife and Shechtim, Ech L'Shem Ech Mikolelu, V'Ech L'Shem Dov HaKosher, one had the improper intention, and one had the proper intention, Shchitas HaPsula. If we're saying that by one Yisrael and another Yisrael, it's Letzurei Kamechavin, so then why would it become Aser? So some Rishonim suggest that the Gemara could have given a Teretz, that as the Gemara did at the beginning of today's Shir, that it's different when he's a Shutif. And they say that indeed the Gemara could have given that Teretz, but the Gemara wanted to give a Teretz that again highlights the difference between a Yisrael and an Akum and another type of Yisrael that we'll see in a moment. However, other Rishonim say that it's specific that the Gemara didn't give the Teretz that it gave at the beginning of the Shir that is a Shutif. Because once we've established this concept of Letzurei Kamechavin, that concept of Letzurei Kamechavin applies even by Shutfim. And therefore the Gemara's question is a very strong question. And whenever we say when it's a Yisrael that's doing this, he only means Letzurei, so why does the Mishnah say Shutas Pesula? To which the Gemara answers, we're referring to a situation of a Yisrael Mumer. And by Yisrael Mumer, the halacha is that there we don't say it's Letzurei Kamechavin, there we say that he certainly had a mind of Avodah Zarah. So ask the Gemara another question. Toshma, Hamatam v'amadam v'amanasich, b'shoy yipoter, b'mezit chayiv. But why do we say that b'mezit is chayiv? If it's a Yisrael that's doing it, why don't we say that's only Letzurei Kamechavin? So ask the Rishonim, why doesn't the Gemara give a teretz that this brisa is referring to a situation where it was a guy who was Matamah v'Madamah v'Manasseh? Because this entire new distinction that we're suggesting that's only Letzurei Kamechavin, as we well understand, was only said when a Jew does it, not when an Akim does it. So why don't we say that brisa is speaking that the Akim is the one that did it? Answer the Rishonim, that this distinction that we began the shiur with today, that there's a concept of hezek shein hanikar, and the concept of hezek shein hanikar was only, there's a difference between shayi gemezit, all of these halachas were only said by Yisraelim. However, by akum, the halacha is that hezek shein hanikar is always osur, and since the halacha is that hezek shein hanikar is always osur, both b'shayig and b'mezid, that's why the Gemara cannot say the difference between that this Bryce is talking about an Akum. Therefore, says the Gemara, the same parents that it said a moment ago, Hacha nami b'Yisrael Mumer.
By Yisrael Mumer, we don't say Litzurei Kamechavin, and that's why it's Asher. Ask the Gemara. Amalei Rav Acha B'Rei D'Rava L'Rav Ashi. Hisraba, if the person was warned, because as we know in all areas of Halacha, a person is never considered a mazid that he should get the punishment for doing an Aveira B'mazid unless he had Hasra. And the definition of Hasra is that the people tell him, you should know that what you're doing is an Aveira, and if you're going to do this, you'll be Chayiv Riso, you'll be Chayiv whatever the punishment is. And he says, Afo became, I'm still going to do the Aveira. So ask the Gemara, in a situation where Hisrabah Kibbal of Asra Mai, where somebody was warned, don't do this to this, and if you do it, you'll be over an Aveira. And he says, I don't care. Is that enough that we should consider the person a Mumer? Or do we say that, do we still say the concept of Letzurei Kamechavim? Amalei, to which he responded, Hit the Atzma Lamisa Kamret. If the person heard the warning and says, Afa became, I still will do it, Ein Lecha Mumer Gavmei Zeh, he's certainly considered a Mumer, and therefore he'll be, and therefore we won't say the Svara of Letzurei Kamechavim. And there's a question amongst the Achrayim how to understand this Gemara. Some say that he's considered a full-fledged Mumer. Others say, when Al Gemara is saying that he's considered a Mumer, it's only as far as what is the issue or the discussion in our Sugya. In our Sugya, there's a new concept of Letzurei Kamechavim, that another one Jew is only looking to anguish the other Jew, but not to make into Avodah Zarah, to which Al Gemara says, we don't say that in a situation, says Al Gemara, where the person was Mekabel Hasra. There we won't say Letzurei Kamechavim. But the question is he considered a full-fledged Mumer? Some Achrayim say that he won't be considered, just because he accepted Hasra, he won't be considered a Mumer, a full-fledged Mumer. Because there are many Achrayim that are of the opinion that a person doesn't become a Mumer unless he actually did the Aveira. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva Eger. The other Achrayim say that even if he didn't do the Aveira, but like Al Gemara seems to suggest, as soon as he said Afa became, he becomes a full-fledged Mumer. And then they saw their opinion of Achrayim that want to distinguish between Avodah Zarah and Chilul Shabbos. They're there as soon as the person said Afa became, he's considered a Mumer versus other Aveiras, that he's not considered a Mumer until he actually transgresses the Aveira. Says the Mishnah, Ein Shoshim V'Tarch Yamin. One may not shift into the sea. V'lal L'Tarch Nehoris, nor into rivers. And the reason why one may not shift into Yamin and Nehoris is because it looks like he's shechting Favodah Zarah, he's shechting to the Saro Shel Yam, to the master of the sea, and that's why it's considered Avodah Zarah. V'lo Tach Kelim, nor may a person shecht into empty vessels. Again, because people would suspect that he's doing this to collect the blood for Avodah Zarah. Ava Shech Lo Tach Uga Shemayim, he may shecht into a pool of water, which we'll discuss in the Gemara, Uvesvinoi Agaba Kelim, or in a boat, he could shecht on top of the vessel. That means, even though one is not allowed to shecht onto the water, if he's in a boat, he is allowed to shecht onto the water. Why? Because people will say he's shechting into the water because he doesn't want to get his boat dirty. Machlokes Rishonim, if he could shecht directly into the water, or may only shecht along the walls of the boat where the water will flow that way, where the blood will flow that way into the water. Ein shechting l'guma kalika, one may not shecht into a pit under any circumstances. Rashi says because that was what they used to do for Avodah Zarah. Others say because the Torah says Lesachu al Adam, and there was a concern that they're shechting to eat the meat over the blood. Others say when you shecht it in the guma, it looks like you're collecting the blood because you're worshipping the blood. And there's going to be an afkaminus between these two pshatim if there's dirt in that guma or if there's other water already in that guma. Avo oisu, continues the Mishnah, guma b'tach beisoi, person can make a pit in his house, v'shvil shikonis adam l'toichoi, in order that the blood should flow into it. V'shuk lo yasakem, but one should not do that in the public, shlo yachakes et tzedokim, because it shouldn't look like he's doing the same that the tzedokim do. And the Paiskim say that even though Bizman Hazeh, these halachas, these concerns obviously don't really necessarily apply. People don't worship Avodah Zarah. We don't have to stoke him. Still, the Mefarshim say, the Paiskim say that these halachas remain Bizman Hazeh. And they say a very nice raya. Because even Bizman Chazal, in the time of the Mishnah, when these rules were instituted, they said, our Mishnah is referring to an individual who made a bracha. As we know, a bracha must be made before one shecht. So it's obvious that this person is not an Oyder Avoy Dezorah. And even though it's still obvious that the person is not an Oyder Avoy Dezorah, Chazal said that it's awesome. Similarly, in our case, even though nowadays these concerns don't exist, the halacha remains that way. Furthermore, I saw in the Shalos HaTshuvos Melamed L'Hoyel, and I saw Rav Ozner in the Shalos HaTshuvos Shevet HaLevi discuss that our Mishnah teaches us that there's a new concept of Shloichak et Tzedokim, that one has to be careful not to mimic the ways of the Tzedokim, and they say that this is the basis where in Europe many years ago there were communities that wanted to start bringing organ into the shul, which is, we know, the way of other religions, and they said, based on this Mishnah, that under no circumstances may an organ be brought into a shul, because again, we have the concept of Shloichaka HaTzedokim. Begins the Gemara. Our Mishnah said, Ayin Shalachtan L'Toich Yam. One may not shlecht into the Yam. Says the Gemara, Mashna L'Shalach Yam in the way. Why may not he shecht? Dama, because there's a concern, L'Shar the Yam Keshachet, that he's shechting to the spirit, to the master of the sea. Ask the Gemara, if that's the concern, then if so, L'Toich Uga Shemayim Nami, the halacha ought to be the same when one shechts into a pool of water, Amri L'Babu Keshachet, why should we not be concerned that he's shechting to his reflection? I saw two pshatim, what's the concern when one is shechting to his reflection? One pshat that I saw is that they believed that there were two gods. One god created form, and one god created matter. And if somebody bows down to his reflection, he's worshipping the god who created form. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that we remember that when the Malachim, who were disguised as Arabs, came to Avram Avinu, first thing Avram Avinu said to them was, "Virachatu Raglechem," wash your feet. And Rashi explains, why was Avram Avinu so concerned that they should wash their feet? Because they had just come from traveling in the desert, and the Arabs worship Avak. They worship the dust. It's a very difficult concept to understand. Why would anybody worship dust? So the Mefarshim explained that the concept of worshipping dust is the concept of Kolchi ve'oitzim yadi aslai chayel azeh. Person believes that I'm traveling, I'll go on a business trip, and I will be successful. And we know that it's not all about us. It's Hashem that controls the world. And that's the same concept of Lubabu Kashachit. He bows down to his own reflection, believing that he is the one that controls everything, and actually, it's not he who controls everything, it's only Hashem who controls everything. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, our Mishnah that allows him to bow down to Shekhlet Ugas Shemayim,
is referring to Bechurim Shani, where it's dirty water, there is no reflection. Actually, this is one of the basis for the halacha, but one should not daven in front of a mirror. And Shatan Laguma. So the Mishnah said, Ein Shechtin L'Guma, that one may not shecht into a pit, and then Kolikar, under any circumstances. And then the Mishnah said, Aval Oysa Guma Tachbeisa, B'shvil Shikonis L'Toychad. So ask the Gemara immediately, V'Amrit, we just said, Ein Shechtin L'Guma Klal, that you're not allowed to shecht into a buba, into a pit under any circumstances. And then the next words of the Mishnah says that you may do so in your home. Omar Baya, to which Abaya says, Reishiv Gumish B'Shuk. The way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. First, the Mishnah is speaking about a Guma publicly. A Guma that's public, you're not allowed to shech ever. Then the Mishnah speaks about what's in your home. Ask the Gemara, we can't learn Pshat in the Mishnah that way. Amle Rava, because let's look in the Mishnah further. Ba'midatani Seifa, because the Mishnah only at the end of the Mishnah introduces Uvishuk lo yasakei, that there's a difference between public and private. Mechlal, the Reisha, it's obvious that the Reisha is Labashuk Askimi. And as Rishonim explained, the words Ein Shaychem Laguma Kol Iker aren't what's bothering Rava. Rava says that the words kol ikar may be speaking about public, and it's come to teach us that if you shecht in public, you're not allowed to shecht even to a guma that has in it other items. But what is a question? That since the Mishnah only starts speaking about the difference between public and private all the way at the end of the Mishnah, it's clearly indication that at this part of the Mishnah, the rules apply both in private and in public. So how do we understand the Mishnah? Alam Rava. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Ein shechtin l'guma kol ikar. One may not shecht into a pit. A roitzel not kechatzeret. But if somebody wants to keep his yard clean, ketzeroy, so what should he do? Oysa mokam chutz l'guma v'shechtin. He should make a place outside of the pit where he should check. V'dam shoysis v'yor l'guma, and the blood will pour into the guma. V'shuk shloy asakei, but he shouldn't do that in the public. Shloy chakas et stoikin. So we're differentiating between the public and the private, where in the public it's aser, because the maris ayin, and the private it's not. And as the Paiskim explain, based on the Rishonim explain, because they have a very fundamental question. If it's aser in the public because of maris ayin, the halacha is, the maris ayin is aser b'chadri chadorim. Even something that's aser because of maris ayin, it doesn't make a difference, public or private. Yet our Mishnah is clearly differentiating between public and private, to which they answer. Our Mishnah is not referring to a situation where somebody is chas v'shalom worshipping Avodah Zarah. The entire issue here is only concern, shem yechakeh, the people see what he's doing and don't understand and think that he may be acting the chukai seim like they act. And therefore, continued the Rishonim to explain, if it's in private, and if a person were to see the person doing this in private, he would quickly be able to understand that he's only doing this because he wants to keep his home clean. That's why, even though normally maris ayin is also b'chadri chadorim, here we're more lenient. And said the Gemara Tanya Kavasi the Rava, Haim al b'sfina, somebody was traveling on a boat, veinlein mokum b'sfina lishchad, he has no way to shech, moitz yad chutz l'sfina v'shechad, he should stick his hand outside the boat and shecht. The dam shows the yara dafne svina, and the blood will flow on the walls of the boat. Furthermore, says the brisa, vein shoychet lu guma kalikar, one may not shecht into a pit. However, roitzel nakeh chatzera, if somebody wants to clean his yard, keitzer oisa mokim chutz l'guma, he should make a place outside of the pit, the shoychet. The dam shows the yara l'guma, and that's how the blood will trickle into the pit. Shuk lo yasakei shenam b'shukaseim lo yelechu. The masakei, if somebody did act this way publicly, sark b'dich acharav, he has to be examined exactly what is his religious status. Interesting machlokes Rishonim from Rashi, as the Mefarshim explain Rashi's opinion.
is that the person who acted this way publicly, we need to check what is his status. But until, and Rashi says, the reason we need to know is because if Chas V'Shalom, he's a mumer, we will not let him eat from his bread, from his wine, etc. But, says Sayyidim Mefarshim, that he's innocent until he's proven guilty. And therefore, until he's, even though he's done such an act, until the evaluation, indeed, Chas V'Shalom proves that he is such a type of individual, we have no reason to be concerned. However, other Rishonim take the opinion, the Rambam seems to learn, that as soon as somebody acts this way, until we can be certain that there is no concern about his situation, we could be more lenient. We have to be strict. On the contrary, we have to be concerned that he's a mumer. Says the Mishnah, Hashaychet, if somebody shechs an animal, the Zman Hazeh, and he says that he's shechting the B'Shem Oilo, as a carbon oil, Shem Zvachin, as a carbon Shlomin, B'Shem Ashen Toli, we know an Ashen Toli is that if a person has a question, if he did an Aveir, there were two pieces of meat, and one was kosher and one was not kosher, and he's not sure if he ate the kosher one or the not kosher one, or the Shem Pesach, or he's saying that when he shechs, he's saying that this should be a carbon Pesach. The Shem Taidu says that it should be a carbon Taidu. In all these cases, Shkitasa Psula. Why Shkitasa Psula? Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim suggest it's a Psul Drabonim because people will come to make the mistake that you could shecht Chutz Lazara, and therefore Chazal made it Zera. And therefore, according to those Rishonim, explain the Mefarshim, it'll only be Asa Bechila, B'Mutta B'Hano. There are, however, other Rishonim that explain that the concern of this Tana is that people will think that he was magdish these Kabbonis, and it's full-fledged Kotsh M'chutz, and we know that the Aloch of Kotsh M'chutz is that it's also Bachilu U'Bahano. Rav Shimon Machsha. Why Rav Shimon Machsha? One explanation is because, as seems Rashi seems to say, because he's now worried about the Maris Ayin. Another pshat is that even if a person makes this kind of a statement, Rav Shimon completely discounts the statement because there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's like it's not the Kederach and the Snadvim, and he completely doesn't give any validity to the statement. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Shnayim Oichs M'sachim Shechtim, two people are shechting with one knife, Ech L'Shem Ech Nikol Eilu V'Ech L'Shem Davakasher, one had an improper Machshava, one had a proper Machshava, it's enough still to make Shchitasa Psula. However, says the Mishnah, even though we had the Tanakhama being stringent when somebody had said that he's shechting l'shem carbon, it's only a carbon that can be donated that a person could just donate. However, therefore, says the Mishnah, Hashach l'shem chatas, l'shem ashen vaday, there are a number of situations where somebody has to bring a carbon ashram, a carbon chatas, l'shem b'char, b'char is the firstborn male animal, l'shem meiser, the meiser procedure, the tenth animal, L'shem Tamura, where he substitutes one animal for another animal. There, since he can't just donate these kabbonis, this concern doesn't exist, and even the Tanakhama will agree Shkitasik Shera. And the Mishnah summarizes, Zer Klal, Kol Davar Shenidav Nidav Hashoch L'Shmoy Osur, if the carbon that he said that he's shechting is a carbon that one can donate, then the Shechit is possible, but if it's a carbon She'en Nidav Nidav, Hashoch L'Shmoy is kosher. Asked the Gemara, the Mishnah just taught us there's a difference if it's a carbon that can be donated or not. And one is Hashach L'Shem Ayla, and one of the examples given in the Reisha was an Oshem Toli. Asked the Gemara, Oshem Toli by Nidav and Nidafu, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah. An Oshem Toli is brought when somebody has a suffix if he did an Aveira. It's not something that you could just bring as a donation. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ha Mani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Rav Elazar, who holds the Snad of Anam Ashem Toli the Kol Yom. Rav Elazar's opinion is that one could bring an Ashem Toli every day, even though he's not absolutely obligated. What's the basis for Rav Elazar's opinion? Because the halacha is that even though somebody had a suffix and he did an Aveira, and he brought an Ashem Toli, If he ultimately discovers that he did the Aveira, the halacha is that he has to bring a Karban Chatas. So we see from here that one, that the Ashen Tolu is not a full-fledged Karban. For a word to be a full-fledged Karban, why does he have to bring a Karban Chatas? That's why he says it's just something that you're allowed to donate. And furthermore, it's obvious that Rabbi Elazar's opinion, as I said in the Mishnah, the classical example of an Ashen Tolu is where one had two pieces of meat. One was kosher and one wasn't kosher, but there was certainly a non-kosher piece of meat here. And the question was, is, which piece of meat did he eat? But let's say there was only one piece of meat, and we don't know the status of that piece of meat, kosher or not kosher. There are tanoim and masechta krisis that say you're not chayav moshim tolu. Rabbi Elazar certainly won't agree with those tanoim, because Rabbi Elazar says he could, if Rabbi Elazar says he could donate a moshim tolu, certainly he won't require that it should be ischazik isura. Furthermore, in understanding Rabbi Elazar's opinion, there's a question. How far does Rabbi Elazar go? Does Rabbi Elazar say that a person has a right to donate a Noshim Tolui, even though he has absolutely no obligation, he has no suffix aveira at all? Or is Rabbi Elazar's opinion that the person has to have at least some sort of a question that perhaps he did an aveira? Just because the person, if the person has no reason at all to believe that he's obligated to bring a carbon, even Rabbi Elazar would agree perhaps that he's not mechuyev to bring a Noshim Tolui. And this question is relevant l'alach l'maisa, because those that say kabonis every day, so we know that after a person says carbon, the partial carbon oila, he could say yirotzen kilu crafty oila, and the same by shlomen. By chatos, you can't say yirotzen kilu crafty chatos, because you can't just bring a carbon chatos, as we've been learning, if you want to. You have to be obligated to bring a carbon chatos. And that's why many don't say the Yirotzen after Chatas, or even if they do, what they say is Yirotzen Sh'im Nischayafti Chatas, that if I'm obligated to bring a Karban Chatas, it should be Kielu Krafti. But you can't just say Yirotzen Kielu Krafti Chatas. What would be the halacha of Ashen Tolui? If we follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the person could bring an Ashen Tolui, so the person could say Yirotzen Kielu Krafti Ashen Tolui. If we don't follow Rabbi Elazar's opinion, then you can't just say it. You could only say im nischayafti ya'im ki'il nischayafti. But ask the Gemara further. We're saying that all of the kabbonis listed in the first group of the Mishnah are kabbonis that could be donated. Ask the Gemara, Pesach nidav nidavhu? Can one just donate a Karban Pesach at any time? Zimna kvile? There's a specific time when the Karban Pesach has to be brought at the beginning of Erev Pesach. Answers the Gemara, Amar Boishia, Shani Pesach, however, for Shosoi, Kol Ashanakula, since you could designate the animal any time, that is considered a carbon that's nidav and nidav. Amar Yana, says Rav Yana, when do we have this concern in the Mishnah? Lo Shana El Taminu. It's only by healthy birds, Av Bal Mumin, if the healthy animal, if the animal was a Bal Mum, maybe indeed it's obvious that he didn't mean it to be a carbon because you can't bring a baal mum. Rav Yochanan says, I feel baal mum nami. Because zimna de rama lay midi amuma, there may be something covering up the mum, the lo yidia, and people won't see it. And therefore, even though it's baal mum, they'll think it's not a baal mum and come to make the same mistake. We learned in the Mishnah, Hashayt l'shem chatos, all the other kabbonis that are obligatory kabbonis, there we don't have this chash. However, says Rav Yochanan, lo shanu al shem mechuyev chatas. Only if the individual is not mechuyev karban chatas. Av mechuyev chatas, if the individual is mechuyev karban chatas, then we say, ein lo shem chatas hu oisa, he's bringing it for the carbon that he's chayev. Ask the Rishonim that maybe he's mechuyev chatas, and we don't know about it. So why are we always concerned about it? So Rashi explains, that were he chayv chatos, everybody would know. Ask the Magen Avraham that the Gemara says Masechta Yuma Ashvik Kisui Chet, the person not supposed to disclose his averus by averus but Adam Lamakim for which a chatos is brought. And so how are we saying that it would be certainly known? Answers the Magen Avraham. And here we're obviously referring to an individual who doesn't keep his averus quiet. He said publicly Lishem Chatos. And therefore, just like he said publicly he's bringing for Karban Chatos, he would only be chayiv, he would have to bring it only if we know there's mechuyiv of Karban Chatos. But ask the Gemara, for lekam l'shem chatosu, he didn't use the word l'shem chatosu. So how would we think that he's doing it for the very day he's mechuyiv? And so Rebbe Avuah, it's talking about a case, oyim l'shem chatosu. The same thing we said is l'shem tumura, that it's obligatory, and therefore we don't have this concern. However, says Rebbe Loza, he has no carbon at home. If he has a carbon at home, then we have to indeed be concerned when he says l'shem tamura and mura emerbei that he's making a tamura and it looks like kachim b'chutz. Ask the Gemara, but look at his wording. For like kam l'shem tamura zivchi, he didn't say the words tamura zivchi. So why would we have this concern even if he has a carbon at home? Answer the Gemara again. They said those words. So the Mishnah at the end actually summarized everything we've been saying. And we know that whenever the Mishnah summarizes, it's not just to be a summary, it's coming to teach us halachas. Ask the Marla Suyamai, what is the Mishnah coming to add? Answer when it speaks about these kabbonis. But Suya Alos Nozir, the Mishnah is coming to teach us that Oila, we said, is a carbon that can be donated, and therefore we have this concern. So the Gemara, that this concern applies even by Olas Nozer. The Matatema, for we would say, Hola Nodar, why should we be concerned if he said Olas Nozer, that it means anything? We see he's not a Nozer. And so the Gemara, Amen Nodar et Sinna, which teaches us, maybe he is a Nozer, we're just not aware of it, and therefore it is a legitimate carbon, and therefore it's a legitimate carbon nedava for which he is not going to, the shechita will be psula according to the Tanakhama. The Mishnah says ain't a nedav nedav. In its summary, asking her what is the Mishnah coming to add there, the suya oilus yuledis. It's coming to speak about oil yuledis, that carbon is permitted because that's an oilus choyva. That's an obligatory carbon. Amar Belaza, to which Belaza says, "Lo yishadar l'shein le'isha." It's only referring to a situation where he has no wife. Whereas Taisu says, it doesn't mean that we know he has no wife. It means we don't know if he has a wife. Avu yesh le'isha, if he has a wife. Indeed, we have to be concerned that when he said this, he's bringing the carbon the shmolos on her behalf. Ask the Gemara, for lekam l'shein le'ishti. He didn't say anything about his wife. Answers of Avua, again, that he mentions his wife's name, Boim L'shem El Tishti. So ask the Marpashita, if that's the case, that's obvious if he's married, that we should be concerned that his wife had a baby, and therefore this is indeed Kachim. Answers the Marmada Tema, we should say that we have no reason to have that concern, because in Eastern Yolda, had she had a child, call it Slay, everybody would know about it, and therefore when he says it, and we don't know that he had a child, we should have no reason to be concerned. Kamash Malon, that if he has a wife, and he says, L'shem Oilus Ishti, it's going to be carbon, that it's a situation of concern. We don't know that she had a baby. Perhaps, Chas V'Shalom, Amer, a Apulim Apo, she miscarried, and nobody was aware of that miscarriage, but it was enough of a fetus that there's a chiv of a carbon, Yeledes, and therefore, we have to be concerned that it's really kachim b'chutz and it falls into the group of kabbalists. But if somebody says that, then the halach is shechitas p'sula. Hadroloch hashoychet, hadroloch hashoychet, hadroloch hashoychet.